In the day's other headlines, a full jury has now been seated for former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York City. Opening statements are set to start on Monday. And a man is in critical condition after setting himself on fire this afternoon in the park directly opposite the courthouse. Emergency crews extinguished the flames and rushed him away on a stretcher. Police officials described the scene.
Court officers, members of the police department, they run into the park. They make efforts to put him out. They use their coats. They use fire extinguishers. Eventually, FDNY responds. We're able to put the male, extinguish the fire. And from that point, we remove him to a Cornell burn unit where right now he's there in a critical condition.
Authorities said the man threw pamphlets with various conspiracy theories into the air before setting himself on fire. Police in Paris arrested a man at the Iranian consulate today after he threatened to blow himself up. Officers swarmed the building and cordoned off the site. They found no explosives. The unnamed suspect was convicted last year of trying to set a fire at the same location. Paris is on high alert as it gears up to host the Summer Olympics. The Biden administration added new sanctions today on groups accused of raising money for extremist Israeli settlers in the West Bank. The action also targets the leader of a far-right group known for violence against Palestinians. The Treasury Department said those sanctions, quote, undermine the peace, security, and stability of the West Bank. Attacks on Palestinians have increased there since the war in Gaza began. The White House also announced today new restrictions on oil and gas drilling in the Alaskan wilderness. The rule limits development across more than 13 million acres, or roughly half of what's known as the National Petroleum Reserve. It also blocks plans for a road that would have cut through a national park to reach a copper mine. White House officials spoke about the measure today.
This administration will continue to take ambitious action to meet the urgency of the climate crisis, protect America's lands and waters, and fulfill our responsibility to the next generations of Americans.
Environmentalists welcome the move, but fossil fuel companies and Alaskan lawmakers warn it will have a negative economic impact. The Environmental Protection Agency has designated two so-called forever chemicals as hazardous substances. The compounds are used in many products, including cookware, carpets, and firefighting foams. The designation doesn't ban them, but it requires that their release into nature be reported to authorities, that the spill be cleaned up, and that those responsible pay for their removal. The announcement follows the EPA's decision last week to require water utilities to cut similar chemicals, which are also known as PFAS, in drinking water to near zero levels. The Federal Aviation Administration is requiring longer rest times between shifts for air traffic controllers. The change comes amid growing concern over fatigue following a series of close calls at airports. The FAA is investigating one such incident at Reagan National Airport in Washington yesterday. Two passenger jets came within 400 feet of each other on the tarmac before controllers told the pilots to stop. Ukraine's Air Force says it shot down a Russian strategic bomber in a remote area of southern Russia. But Moscow insists the plane crashed due to a malfunction. Neither claim could be verified. Meanwhile, Russian missiles pounded the Dnipro region in central Ukraine. At least 8 people died and nearly 30 others were injured.
The house was burning. Everything was falling down from the entrance, from the roof. It was dangerous to run out from the house. That's why many did not leave and stayed at home in hope that this will finish soon. But unfortunately, this did not happen.
To help counter such strikes, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky appealed to a special meeting of NATO defense ministers today for at least 7 air defense systems. NATO allies agreed to provide more such systems, but Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stopped short of saying how many they would send. Elections in the world's largest democracy got underway today. Hundreds of millions of voters across India will head to the polls over the next 6 weeks. They'll choose 543 members of parliament and decide whether to give Prime Minister Narendra Modi a third term. In Chennai, lines formed hours before polling stations opened. Some voters are hoping for a change from Modi's Hindu nationalist government.
The first thing I came to vote for is to have a country without any religious disharmony. We've all come to vote. In Tamil Nadu, we're all together. Hindus, Muslims, Christians, we're all together.
Most polls predict a victory for Mr. Modi. If so, he would be only the second leader in India's history to win a third term. And on Wall Street today, stocks ended the week mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained more than 200 points to close at 37,986. The Nasdaq fell for a sixth straight session, dropping 319 points. The S&P 500 slipped 43. Still to come on the NewsHour, the Biden administration releases updated Title IX protections against harassment, discrimination, and sexual assault on college campuses. And David Brooks and Jonathan Capehart weigh in on the week's political headlines.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.